The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You're tuned in to Tuesday's edition of the podcast, where as ever on a Tuesday we'll be taking a look at the Monday jury from the Racing Post, as well as taking a quick spin through three of the races on Tuesday. We're racing at Sedgefield, Southall and Wolverhampton, and you'll hear it all live from 12:05 on William Hill's Racing Radio with Gordon Brown, Sean Quinn and John Budden in the studio on Tuesday. In the meantime, Sam Norris here, and I'm joined by John Budden for Tuesday's podcast. How are you today, John? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm pretty well, Sam. I'm just beginning to get over the fact that I did not nap many clouds for Hennessy. It was such a gutless, cowardly performance. I in the studio for the last month, ever since that horse had won at Carlisle, I had said he'd win the Hennessy. And then I woke up, I listened to the morning line, to the experts, and I thought, am I right? And I didn't nap it.
Didn't pull the trigger.
Dear, oh dear.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty decent run from him. And there was quite a few pointers this weekend, not just the Hennessy. The fight in fifth, of course, from Newcastle. And the Drinmore, amongst others, yesterday as well from Fairy House. A good weekend of clues, John.
Very good weekend of clues, yes. It was excellent weekend racing. And I think the early and possibly midweek racing this week is suffering from that.
Yeah, it's fair to say. We're back to usual Monday and Tuesday fare. Mm. But yeah, first up then on the podcast, the Monday jury, as ever, on Tuesday Racing Podcast. And it is Many Clouds who's the subject of the first question. How do you rate his Cheltenham Gold Cup chances following his exits in the Hennessy? We make him 16-1 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Is that a realistic target for you, John?
I think the price is more or less okay. Yes, Sam, I do. The great thing about Many Clouds is that he has got a really determined attitude, and he is a resolute galloper who goes all the way to the line. I thought he was nailed on to win the Hennessy because the track and everything seemed to suit him. He was also pretty well weighted. But I don't think he basically has the class for the Gold Cup. I think even Silviniaco Conte for one has got too much pace. And I think Many Clouds will in fact find the class of the Gold Cup if indeed he runs a little bit too sharp for him.
Yeah, he's got a lot of horses to beat. Silviniaco Conte, as you mentioned there, remains the favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup at 7-1. Bobsworth at 10s, Hollywell at 10s, Lord Windermere at 10s, Champagne Fever is 12s, Q Card 16s. Mm. There's a lot ahead of him in the betting, isn't there, John?
Yes, there is. And of those you've mentioned, I think Champagne Fever is the one that we've really got to look out and see what happens in the next sort of couple of months, because this is a really class horse and a very fast one too. I just feel Many Clouds could get into the frame. He's a really genuine sort, but I don't think he's quite got the class to win it.
OK, then, fair enough. Not for John, then, in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Next up, are you keeping faith with more of that after his disappointments in the long-distance hurdle?
Yes, definitely. I think everything was against more of that. To begin with, the ground was really testing, tacky ground, which he clearly didn't like. Secondly, I hadn't run for a long time. Thirdly, the stable are not in great form. John Joe O'Neill at the moment shut the front door, did win very well at Carlisle about a fortnight ago. But overall, the team have been a bit below par in the last sort of 6 weeks. Or so, but he's an expert at getting horses ready for the big race, John Joe, and assuming that more of that is all right physically, and there's no suggestion at the moment that he's not, I think we'll see a different horse. He just got very tired at Newbury, and I fancy you want to keep loyal.
Yeah, it's a fair assessment of his performance. Next up then, how big a threat is fighting fifth winner Irving to the champion hurdle Big Guns? I was talking to Alistair yesterday on the podcast, and not a vintage renewal for him. of the fighting fifth. What did you make of Irvin?
Well, I would agree with Alistair. I think Irvin is a decent horse. He's got a touch of class. I don't think that class is good enough to win a champion hurdle. I mean, if you take the two champion hurdle trials, in inverted commas, the previous weekend, Sam, the new one at Haydock and Fahin at Ascot, I mean, they looked much more impressive. I mean, they hurdled well. I was very impressed with the new one's physical appearance at Haydock. He also laid up very well with the leaders. He should, of course, have won the race, as he did, but he hurdled well. You know, there's something infectious about the Tristan Davis liking for the horse, and yeah. We know he acts at Cheltenham. I think he's in a different class to Irving, quite frankly. He won the Fighting Fifth. I feel very sorry for Newcastle, the executive, having that £100,000 race put in at Haydock the week before. Mm. It absolutely ruined the sort of contenders for the Fighting Fifth. I thought John Quinsmeyer ran extremely well, hurdled beautifully, and Irving did show a touch of class to go away on the flat, but not for me, champion hurdle.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, very much a similar story with Many Power. Irving is a 16-1 shot, but plenty of good horses ahead of that. Fahin remains the 2-1 favourite for the champion hurdle, the new one at 7-2, Jezki 11-2, Annie Power is 10s. Next up then on the Monday jury, her bookies overreacted by making Kalkia 5-1 for the Triumph Hurdle. He's 6-1 with us here, but around that price following his run at Fairy House yesterday.
Yes, I don't think they've overreacted at all, Sam. I think, you know, the horse is obviously classy. It's even very much with the right people. The credentials are sound. He won very well at Fairy House. And at this moment, he is, in my view, just about that price. I think 6-1 is perfectly sound, or 5-1. I don't think they've overreacted. That doesn't mean to say, Sam, I think he'll win the Triumph Hurdle. I mean, he might do, but it's too early. I mean, there are so many other horses who are likely to appear in the next 6 weeks, 2 months, that, you know, his price might either dive or go out. But as far as the question, have the bookies overreacted? I say no. They've got it about right on current form.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, no, I, as you say, it doesn't look like the market's taking shape yet quite for the Triumph Hurdle. Kalkia 6-1 favourite. Hargam 14-1. 20-1 for Golden Doyen. And 25s bar those. Next up then, the penultimate question. Another horse that ran well yesterday at Fairy House. Where do you rank Valsolido among the novice chasers after his victory in the Drinmore yesterday?
Well, again, it was an impressive performance, and, you know, he could easily build on that and be a very serious contender, even possibly some say sort of bank of material for the festival. But like the Triumph Hurdle question, the one before, there's still plenty of water to flow under the bridge before we get around to the festival. And there's also a slight question in my mind about the Tallow Tank. You know, was he ridden to the best advantage at Fairy House? Question mark, question mark. Will that horse improve a lot in the next 2 or 3 months? So it's dicey, to be honest. I'm not convinced that the Drinmore form is that great.
OK, fair enough. Yeah, it was very very hotly fancied yesterday, the Tallow Tank, and did disappoint. Final question then on the Monday jury. What wins the Tingle Creek for you? Obviously, we would love to see Sprinter Saccharine Side of Grugy there, but it doesn't look as though that's going to happen. So leaves the door wide open, I guess.
Yes, it does leave the door wide open. It's possible that the Holden Gold Cup winner, God's Own, will in fact build on that performance at Exeter and go on to score. But the two I like at the moment, and we are, of course, speaking fairly early in the week, so they are not guaranteed to run, are, first of all, Dodging Bullets, who is very, very much an autumn horse before Christmas. Our own Craig Forsyth, I can still laugh at that. Sorry, when Dodging Bullets ran at Newbury on January the 3rd or 4th or 5th, whatever it may have been, early January anyhow, Craig said, if Dodging Bullets wins, I'll walk back home to Berwickshire without my shoes on. And I said, oh, Craig, that's, a rather dramatic thing to say. And he said, this horse never wins after Christmas. Never. And, well, coming to the last fence, it looked as though Craig was on his way without any shoes because, you know, Daryl Jacob hadn't moved and Dodging Bullets was just coming to take it up, but it wasn't to be, and he finished second, and he didn't score again, so Craig was right. But I thought Dodging Bullets ran pretty well at Cheltenham last time out, and it was he was actually beaten for second place by Simply Ned. Mm. Now, were Simply Ned to run in the Tingle Creek on Saturday from Nicky Richards's yard, I wouldn't put anyone off backing him. He's a really genuine horse. But I think Dodging Bullets will improve, and Paul Nichols on a Saturday in big races, as we know, is absolutely superb. The other one, Ike, is Boulder Success, Alan King's. Mm. And again, there is a link there to Simply Ned, because Alan King's horse Boulder Success did beat Simply Ned at Aintree in the spring. They were first and second in, I think it was the Magall Novices Chase. So I think those two probably would be Dodging Bullets and Boulder Success. But I'd love to see Simply Ned run.
Okay, yeah, fair enough then. Plenty to think about. Should be a good little contest then, the Tingle Creek. We'll move ahead then to Tuesday's racing. As I mentioned, three meetings on Tuesday from Sedgefield, Southall and Wolverhampton. We're going to go two from Sedgefield and one from Southall. We'll start at Sedgefield for our first race, which is the 2 o'clock. This one, a handicap hurdle, 2 mile, 1 furlong, the trip, class 4 contest. Who do you like the look of here, John?
Well, I might say 3 or 4 sort of catch the eye. From the top, Helium is interesting. This was a horse who cost an awful lot of money when he first came over as a young horse, and I think Nick Gifford had him, and he was, you know, highly rated, ran extremely well first time out, and then disappointing badly, had, I think, blood vessel breaking trouble. But since he's gone to Alex Dunn, she's done quite well with the horse, and it's interesting that she is actually sending Helium up here to Sedgefield for the contest. Could go quite well, not necessarily going to win, still, you know, quite high in the ratings, I think. Then we've got Silver Shuffle, now with Diane Sayre. Now, Diane Sayre is not quite a lady with the magic wand, but my goodness me, her horses run well. For those who don't know her, they ought to by now, because she's very much an up-and-coming name. She trains in a little village called Hackthorpe near Penrith in Cumbria, and her horses look tremendously well, and they run with great consistency. And Silver Shuffle is one of those. If you look at the form, it's been placed, I think, in the last 5 or 6 outings.
Yes, he has, yeah.
And James Reevely is riding. He's riding really well. Silver Shuffle I would be very hard to keep out of the frame, I think, Sam. Other two worthwhile mentioning are Light the City from Ruth Carr. She doesn't have many jumpers, but they run quite well, and Light the City likes Sedgefield. But I'm going to go for one who I think is on a very good mark and has dropped right down the handicap and is a Sedgefield specialist, and that is Sam Lord, trained by Jimmy Moffitt, who has his horses in pretty good shape, another Cumbrian trainer, of course, more from the Cartmel region, southwest of Cumbria, than Hackthorpe, but Sam Lord has been a horse who has run his best races always at Sedgefield, and he ran pretty well last time out, got young Graham Waters on the saddle, claiming a valuable amount of poundage, and I think he's on a good mark, so Sam Lord would be my choice for the 2 o'clock.
Okay, fair enough, and Sam Lord in the 2 o'clock for John from Sedgefield. That gets the selection. Next up then, we'll stay at Sedgefield for the next race on the card, which is, of course, the 2:30. 3 mile, 3 furlong handicap chase. This one, a class 4 contest. Just 4 runners going down to post here. It looks reasonably competitive, John.
Yeah, I think it is competitive. I chose this one because although there is a small number of runners, and it's a worry that, you know, Sam, it really is a worry. The small fields in steeplechases, particularly in the north, I mean, something has got to be done if possible. But it's
struggling, isn't it?
It's struggling, and it's very difficult to know what can be done, because they're simply not the owners about to buy old-fashioned chasers from Ireland as they used to be. And, you know, many of the horses bought from the flat, they're not basically steeplechasers. So it's a big problem. However, we've got four, and three of them, in my view, have got a perfectly good chance of winning this long-distance chase, which will be a grueling test of stamina. Silver Dragon is the obvious one. But Tony Coyle's horses are now running for the third time within about a fortnight. Was extremely well back to win a long-distance hurdle at Weatherby, did the job really well. Beat a favourite horse of mine called Solway Sam, very consistent horse with extra gear. Then on the strength of that, Tony Coyle sent Silver Dragon to Hexham for the four-miler. Over fences the following week, and Silver Dragon ran extremely well, was just beaten, finished second in the contest. Now, that takes an awful lot out of a horse. And I think Silver Dragon will start at a fairly short price for this race, Sam, but he might suffer from that Hexham run. However, Tony Coyle, the trainer, knows better than Button. So, you know, we assume that Silver Dragon is in still very good form. Must have a big chance. Strike Fast is the next one, who has to be considered. Trained by William Kinsey down in Cheshire, and his horses are going pretty well. And this horse is consistent but lacks a gear. He might not need it at Sedgefield this afternoon. And he's got to have a very fair chance, and James Reevely in the saddle again. But I'm going to go for one at the bottom, Apache Pilot. Now, Apache Pilot's trained by Morris Barnes. And if you look at your stats, you will see that Morris Barnes' horses have been placed numerous times over the past 2 months. But he was on the cold list until Sunday, not having trained an actual winner for 59 days. Indian Voyage won very well for him at Carlisle on Sunday, and I think the tide may have turned. Apache Pilot ran very well at Hexham two outings ago. On the strength of that, I thought he was certain to win at Sedgefield last week. The race was, of course, voided.
Yes.
And thank goodness he was beaten a neck. He was only just beaten by Debt to Society. He was given a tremendous ride by Harry Challoner, and Apache Pilot was second, beaten a neck. I think he's got a good chance. So it goes back to Sedgefield. Hopefully there'll be no flag-waving and voided races, and Apache Pilot can perhaps score again for Morris Barnes.
OK, then Apache Pilot in that one for John, the 2:30. Final race, then we'll go down to Suddle for the last one on our podcast. 12:45, the handicap chase, 2.5 miles the trip in this one. It's class four with seven runners involved. Who stands out here?
Well, one or two. I think Tidal Way could run extremely well here for Noel Feely and Charlie Longston, but was quite well beaten at Ludlow last time out, Sam, and I just get the feeling that after an extremely bright start to the autumn, Charlie Longston's horses have not quite been in the purple form that they generally are at the time, and he's got a bit of weight, so I just pass him over. Jewelry, if he runs, and I think there's a blank by the rider, so it's possible there's a doubt. Jumps really well, and the fences at Suddle take a lot of jumping, and you know, he could easily be involved if he goes to post. The Skeltons are in great shape, but Riddlestown, who is their representative here, doesn't look in great shape. Yeah. I think he's got to improve a lot. So by process of elimination, we come to what I think is the winner, and that is Ballymote. Sue Smith quite often puts in a winner at Southwell. And although she's had a very thin autumn, there are definite signs that her horses are improving. Tragedy for her, really, that Ryan Mannier has given up in the rather surprising fashion he has.
Wish I could retire at 25, however old he is.
But nevertheless, you know, he has gone as far as riding for Sue Smith at the moment. But Jonathan England has been with the stable for a longish while, and he's going to come in for plenty of good rides now from Sue Smith. Phil the Power ran very well for the Smiths at Carlisle on Sunday, and there have been, as I say, hints that the stable are coming back to a bit of form. Ballymote should have won last time out, would have won by some considerable way if he hadn't come down at the last fence. Up to that moment, he jumped really really well, like the Stag. He gave my old friend Categorical the chance to win, which I wouldn't, you know, wasn't upset about at the time. But I do think Ballymote was a deserved winner. If he jumps a clear round, it's got to be very hard to beat.
OK, then Ballymote, the selection for Sue Smith and Jonathan England in the 12:45 at Suddle. If you could just remind us then, please, John, of your three best bets on Tuesday's card.
Yes, well, we got two at Sedgefield. Sam Lord in the 2 o'clock, the handicap hurdle. I think he's down to a good mark. Graham Waters in the saddle. In the 2:30, the long distance grind, I've gone for Apache Pilot and Maurice Barnes. And a little bit earlier, chronologically, as far as time is concerned, 12:45 at Southwell, Ballymote ought to score.
Okay, fantastic stuff. Then there we are, the thoughts of John Budden on William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You can join John in the studio in the company of Gordon Brown and Sean Quinn from 12:05 on Tuesday for all of the action from Sedgefield, Suddle and Wolverhampton. Thank you for joining me today, John, and good luck with those selections.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.